I also want to greet each one in Christ's name this evening. It's good to be here. I was blessed with what was shared already. Thank you, Lyndon. That was did a tremendous job. Thank you for that. It was a blessing to me and encouraging and inspiring. So, for my topic tonight, separation and final judgment. To start with, I didn't really think much of it. But the more I got to thinking of it, and the more I studied into it, it was like, how in the world am I going to express or transfer to you what I am feeling about what I've studied and gathered? So it's such a huge, not huge, but yet final and dark subject as a human looking at this, yet there's so much hope and life there as well. Yet it's deep. It's something that we don't like to look at or I'm trying to get my thoughts here. If we look at it from the perspective of a non-Christian or someone that does not know Christ, it's so scary. And there's literally no way out of it. Because it's the end. It's over at that point. But yet as a Christian looking at it, it's amazing. And it's God all over. So I want to give you a glimpse, or try to give you a glimpse of what I've found. So bear with me tonight. It was very good for me to study this subject, and I encourage you to study it as well, because we can't fully grasp what is taking place here. So for one, Jesus' return, that we don't know, especially if that is the point when judgment will come, but it is after that when judgment will happen. Acts 1, 9 to 11 is my first verse, or the first verses. Acts 1, 9 to 11 says, "And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus, when he is taken up from you, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go." So he's coming back, and he's coming back for his bride, but also in Jude 14 and 15, Jude 14 and 15 says, "And Enoch also the seventh from Adam prophesied of these, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him." So he's coming back as a judge as well. All right, I divided it into three sections. They're definitely not perfect, but the first one, the division. So this is the main verses that were given me, and let's go to Matthew 25, 31 to 33. Says, "When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left." Let's go to Matthew 13. Verses 36 to 43. And one thing we'll notice here is the separation. There's two ways that it'll go. There's to God and to God, eternal life, or destruction. And it's very clear here in these verses. Matthew 13, 36 to 43. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, Declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. And he answered and said unto them, He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, the good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. So destruction and life, that's there's only two ways that it will go. There's never been a third place, and there never will be a third place. And humanity tends to, we if we're doing our own thing, if we're not serving God, we tend to think that, nah, there's got to be something. And we hang on to that, and we loiter in it, and there's just not that there. And it's a truth of God's word that will never change. One or the other is always our condition. We're either part of the kingdom of light or of darkness. There's no other way around it. Somehow we think we can slip by, but it's clearly a trap of the devil, because there's no way we can get around this fact. And I just want to impress that on our minds. Okay, let's go to Mark 16, 16. I'm going to switch to what we have to, or some of the promises that we have, and the joy and the rest and peace that we can have in Jesus as our salvation and our hope. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. So he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. A very comforting verse there. But also at the same time, a terrible verse for those that are not saved. Because those that are not saved shall be damned. John 3:16 says, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's an awesome verse. And we can hang to that verse. It's awesome. Truly. You might condemn yourself, but if you have a living faith in Jesus Christ, you have a relationship with him, you will not be condemned. That's a promise that we have. No lamb of his flock will be among the goats. Not one. Lord, those shall bear that day, so dread, so splendid, whose sins are by thy merits and covered o'er, who when thy hand of mercy was extended, believed, obeyed, and owned thy gracious power. These, mighty God, shall see without dismay the earth and heaven before them pass away. John 5:24. John 5:24 says, Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. And I love that verse, because it not only promises us eternal life, but look at the last part there, but is passed from death unto life. That gives the sinner hope. Because we can pass from death into life. Just like that. And that's because of Jesus. We can come to Jesus, give our hearts to him, and that's what happens. We pass from death to life. And it's 100% a gift of God that we can claim as our own. Well, let's go to Matthew 24. We're going to switch back to the other side. It kind of got to bounce around to get to, I want to try to get everything, but I mean, I can't even close get everything, but like get some of each. But I want to come out as encouraging because we are Christians. We're born again and we have the hope of eternal life. So we don't have to worry so much about eternal damnation. Yet it's good to keep our minds or keep it in our minds to help us. Matthew 24, 40 and 41. This was a touching one for me and really caused me to think and I'll read the verses. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. There's going to be separation, eternal separation between brother and sister, between two brothers, between husband and wife. It's over, done, separate, gone forever. It's hard to get my mind around it. Yet it's so real. It's gonna happen. One shall feast at the eternal banquet. The other will cry for a drop of water to cool his burning tongue. Friends and kindred then shall part to meet no more. Wrath consumed the rebel's heart, while saints on high adore. There'll also be separation of eternal destinations. Let's go to Luke 16:26. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. The distance between God and the devil, between happiness and misery, between glory and everlasting contempt, between infinite joy and boundless sorrow. It'll be final. There'll be no flinging a bridge across to get to the side of the blessed. Forever. We can't even think forever, but forever. A long, long time. The lost sinner is forever separated from Jesus and his followers. 2 Thessalonians 1, 7 and 9. And to you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Just confirming that the separation of Jesus and his followers. Romans 6:23, another one I had. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The wages of sin is death. Well, let's talk about the divider a little bit. John 5:22. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. So Jesus will be the judge. And he cannot be mistaken, because he is the infallible Son of God. And that's a comforting fact to us as Christians. Jesus died for me and you. And he has so many promises here that we can hang on to, that he will be there for us at the judgment. And we do not have to fear judgment. Even if it looks really scary right now, I don't think that we will have to fear judgment because of our relationship with Jesus Christ, if it is current. So that is a very encouraging thought to me, that Jesus is the judge, and he died for me. And he meets out the glory. And therefore, the glory he meets out to us will be ours, and we can enjoy it without fear. On the other hand, for the lost, can you imagine the terror of facing the one that came down to earth? He left heaven, came down to earth, and then he died for you. You killed him, in a sense. He died for you, and then you turned your back on him. That in itself is so much terror. It would be terror. The just, holy, loving Savior that died for them, they rejected, is their judge. And as the Son of God, has the power to carry out his sentence. All right, let's go to the rule of the division. Matthew 25, 35 to 36. We're going to go back to that chapter. Matthew 25, verse 35. For I was anhungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee anhungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was anhungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee anhungered, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. So it's very clear here what we are called to do, or what the rule of the division is. And if we look at those are all things that Jesus came to do. Feed the hungry, visit the sick, help the poor. There's countless things we can do like that. The great division between the sons of men is Jesus himself. And even now, the thing that separates us into two sides is our relationship with Jesus Christ. Which side are you on? The right or the left? If you're not with him, you're against him. Christ stands between believers and unbelievers. He is the division in a sense, in every sense, really. Matthew, yeah, I already read that. 2 Corinthians 5:10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. So we'll be judged by our works. So are we saved by our works? Not at all. Ephesians 2:8, let's just turn to that. I thought I could remember it, but... not quite. Ephesians 2:8 to 10. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So it's nothing, we cannot earn our salvation by works. Let's go to Matthew 25. Oh, no, I just read that. That was about the... I'm going to turn to it real quick, though. It's talking about the ones that fed the hungry and that didn't feed the hungry, that down that line. If we read over that, though, our works are still so, so important. Because we will be judged by our works, yet our works cannot and will not save us of themselves. But it's an outworking, or it's evidence of Jesus' blood on our lives and a changed heart. Jesus in us. It's proof of that or evidence of that. It's an outworking. So what have I done for Christ? Let's go to Revelation 22. Revelation 22, 7. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And then jumping over to verse 12. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. And which testifieth these things saith, he which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly, amen, even so come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. So in verse 12 there, I come quickly and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. So our works are very, very important. Because if we're not building the kingdom of God, we're tearing it down. If we're not for God, we're against God. There's only two sides again. So that's very essential to the Christian's life and to reaching eternal glory. Romans 6, 22 and 23. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness in the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's so awesome. As Christians, we can claim these promises, that we can have eternal life. We don't have to fear that horrible day. It won't be a horrible day for us. It'll be a glorious day, even if it looks terribly scary. I think it'll be a glorious day for the Christians, for the people following Jesus. And we'll be ready, we'll be waiting, or I hope we will. And that's my challenge, is that we're ready, that we're watching. Every minute, always. Have Jesus on our hearts and on our minds. Always be watching, because he'll come in a day that we don't know. And he comes as a thief in the night, but he does not need to come as a thief in the night for us as Christians. Because we can, if we're ready and waiting and watching, we'll be ready, and he won't take us unawares. And that's amazing that we can have that, and we can cling to these promises. So that's the inspiration or the challenge I'm going to leave with us, is are we watching and waiting for Jesus' return? That's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Lyndon and Brother Sheldon, for declaring the truths of God's word to us this evening. I was richly blessed and challenged and inspired this evening. And I think you did well, Brother Sheldon, to impress the seriousness of this on our hearts tonight. As I thought of all these topics, you know, all the topics we had except the last one are choices that we make about separating ourselves to God. But this last topic was about when Jesus decides and he separates, and then we don't have anything to say. And that's like Brother Sheldon said, it's so comforting because we know Jesus is going to judge right. And if we've sent our sins ahead of time to judgment, we'll be fine. But if we don't know the Lord, it's an awful thought. But thank you. And I also appreciated the other topic, the different thoughts on speech there, controlling our speech, idle words, arguing, grumbling, confident assertions, deceitful speech, flattery and gossip, and also what a blessing that right speech is. What a privilege to be an encouragement to each other, and also the thoughts on recreation. Appreciated those principles. It should be restful and refreshing. Keep it simple, and remember stewardship of time and money. Those are good things to think about as we look for something to do to refresh, be refreshed physically, emotionally, and spiritually. May God bless. We'll open the meeting here. Anybody that would like to share a testimony or anything, you can feel free this time.